This is the only game in which it's sometimes better to be wrong than right. It's called Right or Wrong. And right here's the man who's seldom wrong, Clement Freud.
Thank you very much. On my left are Andre Melly and Anthea Askey, all set to do battle with John Cleese and William Rushton on my right. Let me briefly try and explain how this very simple game works. I ask a question, and the team which wants to answer buzzes or rings. Men buzz, women ring. If the answer is correct, and the other team agrees with them, then the first team scores 5 points. If the answer is wrong, it's wrong with such conviction, the other team thinks that it's right. The first team scores 10 points. In other words, twice as many points when one team successfully misleads the other, which is the point of the game. You can get double for being right also, but only if the opposing team thinks that you're wrong. You'll see how it works as we go along. To add a little extra spice and confusion, each team has been given 4 answers. Only neither team knows which answers the other team has been given. Also, the point system is worked entirely by me because we have small side bets on who's going to win. So in this atmosphere of mutual mistrust and confusion, here is the first question. In which city was the first parking meter installed?
With considerable
John
pride.
John Cleese.
Oh, you say it with considerable pride.
Buzz. No, you...
The first buzzer.
You do it, Willie.
It was in our own fair city, the Fleury of cities, Orley, Chaucer, London.
William Rushton says London.
Who else could lead the world?
Right.
No, I think it's wrong.
I think it's wrong.
Yeah. 5 points. It was
because
not London.
Because it was Birmingham.
Birmingham?
No.
5 points.
No,
not Birmingham. The scores are very level.
We'll do this one straight away because it's obviously the...
For 10 points.
It was obviously the city with the worst traffic problem, which is quite clearly Los Angeles. So that's the answer.
Los Angeles?
Yeah, it could be. I think it's America.
Yeah, it's double bluff business there. Los Angeles, I should think. Right, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Is right.
And as Los Angeles is wrong...
Oh, God.
And it was Oklahoma City, the boys get 20 points, because you get just as many points for giving the wrong answer, provided the other people are fooled into thinking it's the right answer. So the boys once more have shot into a commanding lead. They're now leading by 25-5. The next question, a person who believes that in the nature of things he can't know anything about what lies beyond is known as an agnostic. Who coined the word agnostic? Anthony Askey.
Well, oddly enough, I know this doesn't sound true, but it was a Mr. and Mrs. Gnostic and their daughter Agnes, and it was then cut down to agnostic. No, really, don't look at me like that. It's true.
No, not in a kind moment.
A pretty invention.
Do you want to do it or should I?
I'll do it. I like saying it. It was the Venerable Bede.
William Rushton says the Venerable Bede.
Venerable. Oh,
I only quote Venerable. I mean, he's called that. I don't know what his habits were.
Which Venerable?
The Bede. The Bede. I mean, the Bede.
The Bede. The Amber Bede.
Who at the time was viewed as Venerable.
No.
5 points. It was not the Venerable Bede.
It was Johnson.
Nope.
10 points. It was not Johnson.
It's Greek, in fact, so I can... The Gnostics were a sort of pre-Christian sect who felt that the salvation in life was rewarded by knowledge, and that this was eventually declared an heretical sect by Pope Paul VI, who then said... And this view that it was a heretical sect was agnosticism.
He looks so innocent when he says it, doesn't he? Ooh. I think he's showing off. I think he knows because he's carrying on.
Such a long speech.
Baby blue eyes looking at you. Look at that.
Right, he's right.
20 points to John Cleese because it's wrong.
Oh.
D.H. Huxley in 1869.
Oh, no. Bother.
Which we'd been given, so we never even had a chance.
Oh, so right.
And you were playing for more points.
We were playing for lots of points.
Well, I'm going to play you a tape. and I want you to identify who is making the noise. Actually, it should have been what is making the noise. Audrey Millie.
It's somebody jumping from about 4'10" into mud in Wellington boots and then walking along.
Very nearly, but actually
no jumping.
Not. No jumping.
I don't think
no.
So.
Wrong.
There are a number
wrong.
Of people jumping, but not
five
one.
Points, no. Not jumping Wellington boots, mud, 4'10".
How many people did you hear, Willie?
About 12. Mass mud wrestling, I suppose.
That's fish, isn't it? They wrestle in fish. No, I think Andre very nearly had it right. It's the people not in Wellington boots. It's two chartered accountants in bare feet walking through mud.
As is their wont.
As is their wont.
At weekends.
No, I don't think it is.
I don't think so either.
10 no. points to the men, because it is... Two people with bare feet walking in sloshy mud.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not married to him. He looks so innocent when he tells lies.
Mind you, he knew the answer, and you got pretty close to it, not knowing the answer, so it sort of looked dangerous. So the men have increased their lead. The girls are stuck on a pathetic score of 10 to the boys 75. In the Mad Gardener song by Lewis Carroll, we read of an argument that proved someone was the Pope. But when he looked again, what did he find it was?
A letterbox.
William Rushton.
A letterbox.
Could it give us the reason for that answer?
Because if you're slightly short-sighted, the Pope looks quite like a letterbox. Mouth full of envelopes, of course, you know. More lifelike.
No, it wasn't.
5 points.
It was.
You've added 50% to your total.
Oh, good.
Good.
It was an elephant. Because it goes, he thought he saw an elephant climbing up the rope. No, he thought he saw, it was a rope.
Indian Pope trick.
That's right.
Huh? Sounds very unlikely.
Very unlikely.
5 points.
I know this poem. I've heard it. Somebody used to read it to us at school. It's a whole series of verses about I looked at something and then I looked again and realised it was. And
okay, I'll read you the poem and stop at the word that
I... Oh, very good.
He thought he saw an argument that proved he was the Pope. He looked again and found it was.
It does rhyme with Pope.
It has to rhyme. Letterbox didn't, did it? I hadn't realised that. I had to rewrite a few songs.
2 5-seconds. Before nobody gets any more points.
A bar of toilet soap.
I think we'll give you 8 points. It's a bar of mottled soap.
Oh, that wasn't bad.
Ian is complaining about the 8 points because of his arithmetic. We'll give you 10 points. Which planet is next but one to the sun? Going which way? Going from the sun outwards, says Ian Messenger. And John Cleese says...
Venus.
No, I don't think it's a cold.
Wrong. Oh. 10 points. He was right.
Oh.
It is, of course, Venus. I have written down here all the other things it could not be. And it says Venus, the answer. So they leap ahead. 35 points in the lead. I'm going to play you some music, and I want you to identify the vocalist.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown, because those dear hearts and gentle people will never ever let you down.
Anthea.
I think it's Dean Martin.
It's not somehow sort of...
He hadn't taken the tablets when this one was done.
Words.
Right or wrong?
Wrong.
5 points.
It's a sort of sub-groaner, though, isn't it? I mean, it's not the actual the groaner himself. a sort of pseudo Bing. It would probably turn out to be Quentin Hogg, but it won't. I don't know. It wasn't Al Bowie. It was. What about somebody like Guy Mitchell?
What?
Guy Mitchell. He used to sing songs of that nature.
Did
he
used to sing?
Hmm.
But I don't trust this.
What about Guy Mitchell?
He wore red feathers and a hooly hooly, that sort of thing. He used to sing.
Yes,
that.
Yes, he did.
Oh, I think there was all that fuffle going on. I think he's right.
Yeah.
That's 10 points to William Rushton. It was Michael Holliday. But any name will do, provided you can convince the other side. It's the right name.
Sorry.
Shall we hear it once more? Because I think it was very accurate. He is, I think, enormously a sub-groaner. Let's listen to him again.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown. Because those dear hearts.
Sounds like Bing Crosby to me. What is the national emblem of Japan? Andre Milly.
Rising sun.
Rising sun.
It's a national newspaper.
That's a very difficult one, isn't it?
Mm.
So I think if it were that, I don't think we would have been given it by this crafty Mr.
No,
Messer.
I don't either.
No,
it's a devious mind. It's probably
wrong.
Grass or something like that.
5 points.
And we have to find something, starting from the point of view that not knowing at all. So what's a good Japanese symbol?
Perhaps what you do, a Japanese symbol.
Japanese symbol. A bucket of blood.
Bucket of blood?
I don't think so.
No, it's...
Five points.
No.
It's not.
It is a kind of... What would they call those? Samurai's thing.
Sorry.
A samurai's thing.
Scimitar
animal, vegetable, or mineral.
Thing.
No.
10 points.
No, it isn't. Not. It's actually a miniaturized transistor dragon. Made in Birmingham.
Huh? Might be a dragon, but
I think it's... they do this now. They come up with the real answer. It's a dragon which is right.
That's 20 points to William Rushton because it's a chrysanthemum.
Oh.
Transistorized chrysanthemum.
A miniature transistorized chrysanthemum made in Leamington Spa. We now come with a score, girls 85, boys 165, to the weekly guest spot. Every week we invite one well-known human being to come along and give us a one-minute potted biography of his life, and it's up to the teams to guess which is the deliberate mistake of which there is one. And today's guest is that well-known vegetarian bullfighter, Mr. Spike Milligan.
Ready when you are.
Right. I was born in 1918 in India as the son of Leo Alfonso Milligan and his wife, Florence Mary Winifred, née Kittleband. At the age of one, I was shipwrecked in the Red Sea. I made my first appearance at the age of eight as a clown in a nativity play at the Convent of Jesus and Mary in Pune, India. In 1933... I came to England. At the beginning of the war, I signed on as a semi-skilled labourer at Woolwich Arsenal, and I played a trumpet in the jazz band on Saturday nights. I later joined the Royal Artillery. Bang! It went. Much louder. Bang! That's right. And I served in Tunisia and Italy. I got shell-shocked and met Harry Seacombe. We started the Goon Show on Radio 1952 with Peter Sellers and Michael Benteen. That lasted for 6 years. I was on the TIV. TV, rather. I was on the TV in a show called Fred, and later changed by Deed Bottle to Son of Fred. And in 1961, concurrently, I played Ben Gunn in Treasure Island at the Mermaid Theatre and Mate in the Bed Sitting Room at the Duke of York's Theatre in 1963. Oblomov at the New Lyric Hammersmith in 1964, and son of Oblomov at the Comedy in the same year. I have written books called Pakoon, Silly Verse for Kids, A Dustbin of Milligan, Ridiculous Riddles, and Adolf Hitler, My Partner's Downfall. My favourite pastime is sleeping, brackets, question mark, bracket off. And I'd love to meet this typist. Right, the show is now wide open to conjecture.
Now, there's one actual...
Shut up. All right, go on.
There's one actual deliberate mistake in this.
That's me.
You get 25 points for spotting it. You lose nothing for...
I spotted it already.
The wrong question.
Oh, who did?
John Cleese.
Well, it's going to sound very obvious, but I don't really believe you were shipwrecked in the Red Sea at the age of one. Does that count?
Or yes, what? I was.
You went, really?
Yeah, on the ship called the Erin Pura. All the stuff that sound normal here are the mistakes. Yes, I was in the Red Sea called the Erin Pura, and it broke its back on the rocks, and we were taken off by Her Majesty's destroyer, the Tigris. The Tigris destroyer.
Okay, so that's wrong.
Meantime,
your father was not Ney Kittebrand.
What, well, he was not Leo.
Could
was he Leo Alphonse?
Question,
Leo, was your father really Leo Alphonse? Because I don't know.
Yeah, Leo Alphonse Milligan. His parents were Irish, and they were illiterate. And the only names they knew were the saints' names and the popes. So they lumbered him with the Pope Leo and Pope Alfonso. He's lumbered. Leo Alfonso. You ought to hear my mother calling out, Leo! They expect a lion to come back. It's the truth. Yes, it's true.
I think it's something to do with dates, something sneaky like that to do with the dates of the beginning of the Goon show.
I don't know. I think it started in 1952, yes. It started in the Goon show, and it says so here. Really, in 1952.
Okay, so that's wrong.
That's right.
I mean, the challenge is wrong.
She's wrong. Oh, yes.
The information is correct.
I don't know where they get these chairmen from.
Spurk.
We've both been accused of Finchley Labour Exchange this morning. Got here first, that's all.
I don't believe the semi-skilled labouring at Woolwich Arsenal, for surely such important stuff as shelling could not be done by a semi-skilled. You must have known your ammunition.
Well, I made semi-produced guns. Only half. They didn't fire.
For the opposition.
Oh, we sold them to the Grenadier Guards, and they have never been seen since. Today, their captain is Shirley Temple and living in the south of France at Bayonne. She also likes fruit nuts and can swivel her knees at a high speed during an equinox of the moon. Whoop, bang.
We all get paid for this, eh? How that...
These must be homeless, these people.
All right, I query the dates that you said for the end.
How
of the...
dare you!
What? John, go on.
Mr. Milligan.
But boom.
1958.
Oh, what happened in 58?
The Goon show lasted longer than that.
Did it?
Didn't it last longer than that?
I didn't measure it.
With repeats.
Yes, with the repeats, right.
Would you like to read this part again in which the...
In the bed sitting room at the Duke of York's Theatre in 1963, Oblomov at the New Lyric Hammersmith in 1964, and son of Oblomov at the Comedy in the same year. I have written books called Pakoon, Silly Verse for Kids, A Dustbin and Milligan, Ridiculous Riddles, and a book for the deaf called Hello! Adolf Hitler, my part in his downfall.
I don't think that son of Oblomov was in the same year as Oblomov.
Well, I can't remember.
Aha.
It's all a waste of time, all of this.
It was at the Comedy, I'm sure.
I could be unbottling fruit.
So I'm going to query the show at the Duke of York.
Yes, I was at the Duke of York.
Bed sitting room.
Yes.
Was it at the Duke of York?
Yes.
I'd like
to... have one more question each.
Query the Oblomov at the New Lyric. I didn't think it was.
Yes, we was at the New Lyric. We started Oblomov at the New Lyric.
Anthea, your question?
But I've run out of questions.
Right.
Well, run out and get a pound of questions.
No, I can't find anything.
William Ruskin,
nor can I. No, I feel that is all true.
Right.
Yes.
That is the mistake.
I'll tell you the mistake. I am not Spike Milligan. I'm Mrs. Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, very good. Very good. I'd never have got that.
The mistake was that Spike Milligan did not write Ridiculous Riddles.
Too late! Let's clean that up. In fact, there are no mistakes in me. My life is pure. It's driven snow. Drive that snow over there.
Spud Milligan, thank you very much for being our guest.
Postmaster, Stringer, BBC.
We now continue with the program. Here is the weather forecast. I'm sorry. What is... A nail was formerly a measure of weight used for wool, hemp, beef and cheese. What weight did one nail equal? John Keyes.
£7.
Have to be a very big nail, I would have thought, to weigh £7.
Wool, hemp, what other things?
Beef and cheese.
Wonderful pudding.
Not necessarily in that order.
£7. No.
5 points. Not £7.
It was £22.
£22?
No.
5 points.
In fact, it used to be called a snail, but as it sounded rather unpleasant when you said a snail of meat. And it changed a nail of meat. It's a pound.
Right or wrong?
A pound. No, I was going to call it a pound, wouldn't it?
Well, a snail weighs about a pound. Good, heavy snail.
It has to be. No, I think that's... I think it's wrong.
Wrong. 10 points.
Wrong.
It is wrong.
Yes, it was actually called a knoll, not a nail. And they measured it in the same way with the weights.
Look, we're entirely disinterested in what it used to be called. I want a weight.
You want a weight?
Yes.
It was then a knoll weighed 14 pounds.
No.
14 pounds.
No, 8 pounds.
10 points for wrong and 8 pounds for 20 points.
I don't know.
They don't usually get given these weight ones. You know, we all muck about like this. I think no.
40 points to the men. Because it is 8 pounds. Were you given it?
Yes.
Yes.
But we knew.
We would have got it.
Sorry.
I think it's time for another tape. And I want you again to identify what is making this noise.
Very unhappy, constipated hippo.
Right or wrong?
Wrong. Wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong. The date correct. Giveaway is correct. 12 lady elks steaming up the passageway here. It is, in fact, the mating call of the male elk.
Right or wrong?
What do you think of that? Sounds rather convincing, but I don't know. I'd rather not look at them when they say things. It's much too difficult.
Look at those elks.
No, look at those elks.
Trampling all over the audience.
What of an elk?
Down, madam.
I've been so wrong up to now.
No, I have too.
No, I don't think so. No, no.
Correct. It's wrong.
Can we hear it again?
Yes, you can hear it again. I'll just give you the score, which is that the boys are 100 points ahead with 240 against the girls' 140. And you shall hear the sound effect once more. I'm going to give... it is your turn in any case. I'm going to give 50 points for correct identification of this.
It's the third reading of the Industrial Relations Bill in the House of Lords.
Not.
50 pounds to the girls.
Very similar.
Sounds like my old man in the morning, but it can't be. I think it's a door, a creaking door, that is a very old creaking door. I'm sure that's what it is.
No.
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 50 pounds. No. It's not an old creaking door.
Do we go on?
Yes, you can have it for 100 pints.
Well, I think Willie actually failed on the first time because he was simply too specific in saying elk, and I think it's a British, an extremely large British sort of wild horse, or whatever it should be called. So I'll say it is the naughty call of a red deer, a male red deer, or a stag. I'd even allow myself stag.
A mating call.
A mating call.
A mating call.
I'm sure it is a mating call.
I didn't like that bit at the end. Was that the same animal, that bit at the end?
The
I'll be glad to know
arrived.
Before we give an answer. Yeah.
Well, look, the only answer you need consider is a red deer. We weren't concerned with what it
yes,
was trying to say.
Yes, to the first part of the noise.
No, the answer is a red deer. The question was, what is making the noise? We're completely as interested in constipation or mating. We want to know the name of the...
Making that at the end.
Yeah, they do make a foul noise. They do, just a sec. Yeah, they do.
All right, you say so.
So yes.
Right.
It's 200 points to the men.
Oh,
I would have thought it was rather an easy one to answer myself. Shall we hear it again?
Oh, yes.
I think it's our go, isn't it?
No, it's over.
Over.
Oh, it's over. Oh, because we said it was right.
You
it's
said it was
donkey,
right.
A donkey, isn't it?
A donkey?
Interesting.
No.
Oh.
Anyone in the audience? Best answer we've had yet.
A camel.
A camel.
Oh, yes.
It's a young Bactrian camel calling and wailing, it says, or Ian Messiter
there
says.
Hundreds of them.
Under what name did Jacques Thibault write? Anthony Askew.
Enid Blyton.
Enid Blyton. No.
No, quite definitely not.
Can I just say that the boys now have 495 points against 190 by the girls. And we are on the last question.
Willie, come on, this is your department.
Under what name did Jacques Thibault write?
You read
what
a book.
What makes you think it's my department?
Well, you've read a book.
It's a foreign book. And you can't read foreign books.
Jacques Thibault.
Jean-Paul Sartre?
Jean-Paul Sartre?
No. No.
5 points.
It's Apollinaire.
That's
very good.
It's a drink.
This is for 10 points. Mm. Apollinaire?
I'd accept that, like a shot. I think that's very good.
Well, that's 20 points for the girls. I was trying very hard to let them catch up. In which
460
purpose you
points.
Have defeated me. Jacques Thibault wrote under the name of Anatole France. Anatole France or Anatole France.
And
this is, having been the last question, this is the end of Right or Wrong. And the end of the present series of Right or Wrong, but we will be coming back soon. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from William Rushton and John Cleese, who conclusively beat, as ever, Andre Melle and Anne Fiaschi.
Your chairman in Right or Wrong was Clement Freud. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Christopher Searle.